Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
I'm Brett. Part two.
Part two of Oasis at Wembley. Last week we were just saying we were at Wembley. Nobby, who was one of our friends, was with us. Really did nothing remarkable on this trip.
He did insult Eastern European lady.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but he didn't mean to. I think he just said, like, he came out with one of his 70 sitcom quotes, and she didn't understand what he was saying, and she ran off crying. I cannot remember.
Was that in a bar?
It was in a bar where the toilets were hidden by a magic door.
That's it. I've been back to that bar since then. I went with Jane last time I was in London, but it's not haunted house themed anymore.
Oh, well, that's a shame. It was good, wasn't it? But we just couldn't find the toilets.
Yeah, you had to go through a bookcase.
Why? Why were they hidden?
I remember that was nice, like Sunday afternoon or something, wasn't it?
It was, because we met one of your friends, didn't we?
Karen, we went to Camden. We went to Wetherspoons there. And then had a mooch around Camden and a couple more pints and stuff. That was good. Good fun when you're 18, 19.
It was like an eye-opener, wasn't it? It was a bit odd, London, I thought, though. You know, it's very different to what we used to in the northeast, wasn't it?
Especially at that time. Yeah.
Like, running around like in the middle of the night screaming.
Especially at that time, it was still, like, fairly traditional up here. Like, you don't have, like, different restaurants and cuisines and fancy bars. It was just pubs, wasn't it, and clubs.
Yeah.
Like, either, like, crap nightclubs or social clubs. But, yeah, it was a bit different. We weren't used to people being a bit more individual.
A bit more boisterous. But,
Rude as well.
And rude. Definitely rude. It was an eye-opener, I think, for like a 19-year-old going there for the first time, I think. Especially by ourselves. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we could have got into more trouble than we did, I suppose.
Well, we didn't get into trouble. Upset Oriental. Not Oriental. Eastern European people. Oh, it really did anyway.
Yeah.
But he generally upsets everybody, doesn't he? To be honest.
So we end up in the gig. Nobby, bless him.
We got one. We're right at the front.
At the front. Not the first couple of rows, but decent. Close to the front. We watched Doves. It is red hot. Like, it's hotter than we're used to here.
Yeah.
It must have been like a heat wave day or something like that. We were sweating, you know, we're drinking. Drinks are expensive in the place. We only have a couple of pints, really, I think, because it's an expensive round, isn't it?
Well, that's why we bought the red stripe, isn't it? So we could get well oiled before we got in. Yeah. But we couldn't even finish that, could we?
We couldn't finish that. And then we got our spot and we just stuck to it. But what was happening was, basically, nobody wanted to move, did they? Because no.
Well, you know, 60,000
people. 60,000
people,
and we were, let's say, we were in the first 2,000 or something.
Yeah.
4,000 maybe. Close to the front. And so we had our spot, and everybody around didn't want to move, but that kind of made for some bad behaviour, didn't it? Like, people were throwing up because they'd been drinking too much in the heat, and they were just, like, being sick on the floor, on people. They were pissing on the floor and stuff like that.
On the cups.
In the cups.
That was the first time I ever... Because you told us, you know what they're throwing around, Brett? It's piss.
I know, it was horrible, wasn't it? Uh-huh. And that became a thing with Oasis gigs, which is a horrible legacy to leave.
It certainly is. I mean, I just saw it with people chucking beer. I was doing, like, why are they chucking that beer away? Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's piss.
And that was horrible. Awful. Because I remember that Nebworth gig where they were, that was like people saying they were doing it there because they had been in a field for like 10 hours or whatever. And then it became a thing that people did at Oasis gigs, but it's horrible.
It is horrible. But obviously now we've been from the northeast and a gentlemanly fella. A guy who flags down the police when he realises that he's committing a crime. He's that honest. He's not the type of guy, is he, to piss in a cup and throw it on people.
No, so it was like about 7 o'clock by this point. The sun's like just going down. We've watched Doves. We've watched Happy Mondays. We've got workplace. I think somebody's already pissed on him or been sick on him.
Maybe.
I think somebody was one of those two things, like the people that were next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone, right, lads, I'm just going to go for a piss. I'll be back in 10 minutes. And we were like, Nobby, what are you talking about? Like, you've waited 6 hours or something? The gig's about to start.
It was clearly about to start.
You could feel it. You could feel it in the air, like the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The sun was just setting. The atmosphere was ramping up. It was just
fucking in the bushes was nearly coming.
It was about an hour since Happy Mondays had finished. Let's see. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Right, lads, I'll be back in 10 minutes." We were like, "Nobby, no, don't go. Like, you'll never get back. You'll never get back here because the band are going to come on, and you've got to go.
60,000
You've got to go through 50,000 people to get to the toilet. And come
you're never going to find where
you're never going to do it." He was like, "No, I know where you are, man. You're right in the centre.
Plus,
the soundstage is behind.
No mobile phones. Nobody had a mobile phone or anything.
No, we didn't.
That.
We didn't. So it was like,
no way of contacting anybody. Was there? That was it.
And he was 100% going to get lost. And lo and behold, we never saw him again throughout the gig. So the gig, to be fair, like, I never really think about the gig when I think about going to the gig.
Because he's overshadowed the whole gig.
So I've never really talked about the gig before. I remember they started with fucking in the bushes and everybody went wild.
Yeah.
And we were like, "Nobby, we never see Nobby again."
Mm-hmm.
And they had brought out Stand on the Shoulder of Giants. They didn't play anything off Be Here Now, I don't think.
I don't think they did.
I think they disowned it at this point, even though it's still a decent album.
It was still like
So they didn't play anything off that.
I mean, the hits and stuff like that were definitely.
Started with Go Let It Out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was their latest single.
They played
that Neil Young song.
The Neil Young song. That was the first time that we heard that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which was just the part where Noel's playing by himself type thing.
Yeah.
Liam goes off to have a few more lines or whatever.
Yeah. And I remember being like arm in arm with you when he did Don't Look Back in Attic.
And that was
the emotional moment of the night.
It was. It was class, that, wasn't it? It was absolutely brilliant. Being there with that amount of people, 60,000 people, a band that we'll always wanted to see, it was unbelievable, really, wasn't it?
And you know, it would have been great to see them in a small gig.
Right.
Before all of that.
Uh-huh.
But we just didn't get. We were too young, like we could have gone to them, but I think.
Well, like 13 when they're in 94, weren't we?
Yeah, so we wouldn't have gone to any of those ones. So this was. And then just become superstars, obviously.
It was probably better that we didn't because they got like Lamp in Newcastle and
that, didn't they? Yeah, it did. The gig, I can't remember much of it. Just Don't Look Back.
I remember. Because we were so close to the front, because we wanted to see them, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point. That was the whole point of we're trying to get.
Yeah,
to
we
front.
Didn't want to watch.
We didn't
want
to be at the back of like 50,000 people in front of us. We wanted to be at the front.
Yeah, that was why we got there that early and all of that.
Uh-huh.
So it was great. It was amazing. This one they had that fella from Cooler Shaker on the keyboards in at this mm-hmm. point, and Gem Archer was playing guitar, I think, because Gwigsy had left.
That guy with the big beard from Cooler Shit.
He's good.
Right. It was Gem, wasn't it? So it wasn't like the traditional lineup with Gwigsy and I don't think Bonehead was there. It would have been Andy Bell.
Was it Andy Bell as well? Maybe he had just joined them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like not the original lineup. Better musicians probably than the original lineup, but not the classic lineup.
Not the classic one.
Made the best actually made the best music, regardless of not being as good musicians as us.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it was, we want to see Neil and Jones. Jonesy.
So I.
Neil was good.
Neil was alright, wasn't he?
He was alright, Neil.
So yeah.
We wanted to see Liam and Noel.
Everybody wants to see them, right? That was the main draw.
I know, Zach Stelke on the drums as well at this point?
Maybe. I've definitely seen them with him on the drums.
Have you? Because I have seen them as well after this.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I went on on holiday in Magaluf.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing in a festival in Magaluf.
Have you seen them there?
Aye.
I saw them at Finsbury Park. That was good. They had like the Charlatans and the Coral Corner Shop. That was when the Corner Shop walked off because people were just heckling them for being Indian.
Like, it's not very nice.
No, it was shocking. Uh-huh. And then I saw them at the arena, I think. They did a gig at the arena and I saw them when Heathen Chemistry came out.
They were at the stadium light as well, weren't they? At some point.
Sure they don't were. Think I saw them there.
No, I didn't see them there. I've only seen them twice.
I saw Kings of Leon and Bruce Springsteen at the stadium light.
I saw Kings of Leon at the stadium light. They were terrible.
Played about 45 minutes.
They were late, weren't
they? They were late, and then they had a curfew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, that was the beginning of the end for Kings of Leon.
It certainly was. I mean, I, before that, I saw them in Newcastle. It was snowing. It was the same day that Roy Keane resigned as salon manager. And they were absolutely mint. Absolutely
brilliant. I saw them at a festival, and they were great when the first album came out. They were brilliant, but that stadium one, crap.
Yeah, it was awful.
Anyway, Oasis were still a great stadium band. They were loud, they were big, and they just, you know, they had everybody eating out the palm of their hand, really, the singing along and stuff. But specifics, I can't really remember. That Don't Look Back in Anger, being arm in arm with you, like bringing a tear to my eye, was like the only thing I remember. Outside of that, I mean, I've got the CD, so I know what's on it.
Yeah. But, and it was the Neil Young one as well, I think. I quite like Gas Panic at the time, I think.
Yes,
that was a highlight, I think. But apart from that, obviously, you know, the hits. And I think there was a bit of a falling out, wasn't there, obviously, with Neil.
Yeah. Neil and Liam.
with Liam and Noel, because I think, obviously, Noel's a bit of a, you know, professional guy, isn't he? And Liam was pissed, wasn't he?
He was giving him stick. Aye. I think he was shouting at him like over the microphone, wasn't he?
He was, aye. He was shouting.
They were bickering, like, I think they used to do that, and it was quite funny.
That's the thing. You didn't know whether it was something that they were putting on, or like,
I think,
you know,
they used to do that,
expected.
And it was funny. But that, at this point, they were doing it, and they were clearly just having a go at each other.
Aye. Because I remember Liam going over and like giving him a kiss and all this kind of stuff. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? And Noel was having none of it type stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. I don't think it was the best of their relationship at this point.
Still, but, what do you think of the gig then overall? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? A long time ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, and like I say, I remember the trip for all the other stuff more than
the actual
music and the gig. I remember Doves probably more than Oasis. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because I was less drunk at that point, but I wouldn't have been because we didn't keep drinking.
No.
And we weren't doing anything else. So
no. I just remember, you know, the fact that we're so close to them, you know, and that was the thing.
Yeah.
Where we were, Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
The old Wembley, obviously.
The old Wembley, where the previous time we'd been there was for the faithful.
For the playoff final. Sutherland against Charlton. Yes.
So we were there together for that as well, weren't we? So
we were,
right. So yeah, it was that. But what happened? It ends, and we're well, what we're gonna do? We need to find Nobby. We haven't seen him.
See, this is where Nobby he does actually come up with some kind of credit, because he goes somewhere we'll actually find, doesn't he? Uh-huh. I can't remember where that was. Is it the first aid place?
We went
something?
To first aid, so we were we basically waited till the stadium was empty. We were like wandering
around.
We were
on the pitch, weren't we, playing football?
We were wandering around the empty stadium and like trying to play football on the pitch and stuff like that. and it had all emptied out. So all of these thousands and thousands and thousands of people had emptied out. And we were like, our only hope was that Nobby had thought to do the same and we'd bump into each other.
Yeah.
And we kept like going past the first aid and stuff like that in case he had come a cropper, which was likely. and then we did bump into him.
We did, uh-huh.
And lo and behold, he's got a sling on again.
And a story to tell.
And a story to tell and one shoe.
No, I think he'd recovered.
He had two shoes at this point.
But that was part of the story.
So we were like, where have you been? What have you done? What the fuck? Did you see the gig?
Uh-huh.
And we were like, we told you shouldn't have gone. Uh-huh. We told you shouldn't have gone.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, no, man. He went, no, that's not it. I did make it back. He went, I almost had my hand on your shoulder. And then fucking in the bushes started. And I just got pushed over. And like kind of trampled.
Uh-huh. And I think he got carried.
And he got carried out the front, so he went like past us.
So he was, when we were watching the gig, he was actually being carried by people over my head.
Like rescued.
Uh-huh.
And he said like he almost had touched. So he ended up off the front, and then he said he got the front, he's only had one shoe on. He said he could see it. But the guy was like, no, you need to get out the side, like the security, you know, off around the side. So I was like, so where did you go? Did you watch the gig? He went, well, I had to go in the stands rather than on the pitch. And there was no seats in front of the stage. So I was like behind the stage. You know, so I could hear it, but I couldn't really see it properly because... Uh-huh. I was, the equipment was in front of
him. he's getting them saved much, and now he just won that on the stage at this point. Fucking in the bushes came on with his one shoe.
So then he said, and then I thought, well, I need to hang around and try and get my shoe back. And he said, you end up...
Also, I am slightly injured because he's fell over.
Yeah. So he's like, I can do two things here. One, I need to get my shoe. And he said he went to the lost property or something afterwards and was like, hi, I've lost my shoe. And they went, it'll be over there, and pointed to a mountain of shoes.
A mountain of shoes. A huge pile of shoes.
So he found it.
Rummaging through all these shoes.
So he found it. And then he went, well, actually, I have got a sore arm.
I am injured.
And I've hurt me arm. I am injured. So I'll go to the first aid tent. And apparently he went in there and he was like, oh, you know, I've got a, whatever was wrong with a sprained wrist or something was his injury. And
at this point, the doctor is in his head saying, you've meddled with it again. And he knows he's meddled with it this time because it's not on.
Yeah.
So he thinks,
this is the perfect opportunity. I'll go to the first aid tent and tell them that I've just hurt my arm right now.
Yeah, I've broke it.
I've broken it. And they'll put a cast on it.
And all my problems
are solved. This has been like a silver lining for not getting the gig. Surprisingly, they didn't have plaster casting available at this first aid tent.
They were able to book him an appointment at a local doctor's, which he had. Which he was insistent afterwards to go to. So we'd sit around in this weekend in London or whatever, waiting for him to get his arm plastered, which he didn't bloody need.
Which he didn't need in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So he did have a sling on. Was like, but they did do this. And I was like, but no, you don't need your arm on a sling. Like, it's not actually injured. You just wanted them to put a cast on for appearances.
that's all it was, isn't it? Same face with the doctor. Oh, what a man.
So we found him. It took us absolutely ages to get back. I think we missed the last tube back to King's Cross from Wembley.
Uh-huh.
And
we just went to the pub after that, really, didn't we? I think we went for a pint, and then the day after, a bit of time, that might have been when we went to Camden or whatever, the day after.
I think it was the day after, and then we went...
And we were watching the next day, because there was a gig on the next day as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, so the next day was the one that was on the telly.
It was on Sky One.
It was, right? And we went to the pub to watch that. Have you ever watched the preamble? Because it was like a football kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, an anchor and they had, like, guests, like, pundits.
All right.
Before that. And I remember I've watched that since.
Mm-hmm.
It must be on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's say Zoe Ball. I'm pretty sure it's Zoe Ball.
Obviously.
Or Joe Wiley.
Joe, it would have been Joe Wiley.
Probably Joe Wiley.
Yeah, it was definitely Joe Wiley.
And I don't know who's, like, on the panel, but, you know, Rent-A-Gob indie people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we went, we ended up around Leicester Square and stuff like that. And when we found this little pub that had it on.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of relived it again, and were surrounded by people with capes.
Uh-huh. The cape people. Had they just come from Westminster, do you think, those cape people?
Oh, we're quite close to there, weren't we?
Hogwarts? They must have come from Hogwarts, do you think? Because they were like that, weren't they? They were very, like, posh. So...
Yeah, yeah. Like, they weren't wearing a cape for a joke.
No, it was... yeah.
And they weren't goths.
Uh-huh. So it was like that outfit. So it
must have been their attire.
It was their attire. And I was obviously taking the piss out of them because I've never met a person with a cape. But you were far more refined than me, saying, Brett, just leave them alone, that canny man.
Oh, I didn't want to get
in. What the fuck were the dress that's in?
I didn't want to make a scene.
Well, you know, we might as well have.
So we were, I remember that, we were walking down the streets trying to find a pub that had it on, and we were singing Sad Song,
Oasis song. It's not on the,
definitely maybe, like a bonus track.
We're quite mortal when we're singing.
We were pissed that, yeah, and I remember just walking around singing that, because it was one of those, like, little secrets for Oasis. It was, because
that's the thing with Oasis, right? I mean, it's different now, you know, you download everything and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. The B-sides and stuff like that, they were sought after, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. That's why they were such... That singles did so well, not just because of the single, but because people wanted to hear the B-sides, because they put as much effort into the songs on the B-sides as...
Well, sometimes the B-sides were better than the A-sides, weren't they? I mean, do you know what I mean?
I dropped off as the later albums, but the first two albums for sure...
I mean, the Master Plan...
And then they've got, yeah, and then you've got that Master Plan compilation that's got all of them on.
Mm-hmm.
That is brilliant. Most people have never brought out an album that good, and that's a collection of B-sides.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing, like that. And obviously that was a time when you'd bring out two different CD versions of a single.
Yeah.
So you'd have six different songs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people would want to buy both of those versions to get all of those songs.
Yeah.
And that's how Oasis ended up going to number one all the time, because the strength of...
Well, it's certainly the height of music at that time for us, I think, wasn't it? Especially, even I remember looking at the Verve singles and stuff like that in HMV for similar reasons. Oh, I've never heard that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were out of our reach, I think, weren't they? Too expensive.
Yeah.
I remember Nobby had the cigarette boxes, though.
Yes, the Oasis, like, Benson.
Which are worth quite a bit of money now, if anybody's got them.
He probably, like, sat on them and squashed them.
I wonder if Nobby's still got them. When I started earning money, I bought every single that I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
But I didn't have those cigarette boxes ones, which are worth, I think, about 100 quid or something now.
So that's like, you know, that's one of the reasons they were so critically acclaimed at the time. And
that's the thing.
Yeah, they were good, but in retrospect, people have decided that they weren't actually that good for some reason.
Yeah, well, I don't like that.
And they've decided, like, they were just, like, a lads band or whatever, but they were critically acclaimed. Those first two albums were critically acclaimed. The B-sides were critically acclaimed. It wasn't just the Sun saying they were great and loads of, like, hooligans.
Mm-hmm.
They were... like media darlings, they were critics darlings, they were on the front page of newspapers, they were on the front pages of serious music press.
And they were starting to break America when the war and stuff like that, weren't there?
And they were likened to like bands like the Smiths and the Stone Roses, like for the fact that people wanted to collect everything that they brought out.
And also, there was like a cultural change as well, because like I remember. Sort of listening to Rave 92, and then all of a sudden it was Oasis, and people's attitudes changed, their haircuts changed,
the clothes
changed, and that kind of thing. You it's akin to like, I don't know, the Beatles or something like that.
It was massive. Like we changed what we wore.
We did.
And what
Ben Sherman?
Uh-huh.
Had to have a Ben Sherman shirt, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that was like smart as a dart and stuff.
Hair
got a bit longer and stuff.
Definitely, we all changed. Like, it did. And then we were 14-year-old in South Shields. You know, imagine being 17-year-old in Manchester or something like that. It would be like totally change your life.
There was a lad that we used to hang around with. I don't know. He used to like attach himself to her. We used to call him Paul Weller. Do you remember him?
He was older fellow, wasn't he?
He was, aye. He had the proper hair and that, which we
who was
call.
He?
I've got no idea. Can you remember him?
And only now that you mentioned it, aye.
Aye. He was someone's boyfriend or something.
He was like one of the lasses who was our age, yeah. And he was like a 20-year-old boyfriend or something when we were 15.
And he used to knock around well, but he wasn't really our mate. It was a strange thing.
Well, no, because we were kids playing football and that. And he was a grown man, seeing a child.
You're thinking of that other one, man, that other grown man who used to not play football with?
Eddie,
aye. Uh-huh.
Eddie follows me on Instagram.
Does he? Mm-hmm.
He's called Eddie Lister Vinyl. He just posts pictures of records all the time. He always used to like his music, didn't he?
Aye, did I? But that was a very strange situation.
It was. I think there's an episode on Eddie to be had.
He was canny,
but it was odd.
It was strange.
And obviously,
he have a benefactor of some kind? Like a rich dad or something.
He must have.
Because he used to just come to the AstroTurf and play football with
every day. And he always had like new CDs and stuff. But he seemed ancient to us, didn't he? He was probably like in his early 20s.
We didn't even think of getting him to go into the day and buy with booze and stuff.
No, but then he started coming out like when we were going out with Shields and stuff, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
He was a nice enough bloke. He was a bit odd, obviously, because he's hanging around with kids.
Uh-huh.
But he was a nice bloke.
Maybe he's just lonely man.
Yeah. I remember he was a big Newcastle fan, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a picture of Alan Shearer. Yeah, of him like doing his celebration, like running away with his hand there. And he was a decent footballer, wasn't he?
He used to
model himself on you. I think he's a big Newcastle fan. He had similar hair, but he had black hair.
Uh-huh.
So I remember he used to colour in Alan Shearer's hair, like black, in his picture, so he looked more like him.
Did he really do that?
He did, he did. Yeah. Any of you listening, you can come at us if you think I'm wrong.
Come at us.
But I remember you doing that, and I don't think, fair enough, like, whatever. Like
whatever makes you happy. Anyway.
I remember he was great for music. He used to bring...
He was a nice bloke. It was just a bit of an odd situation.
It was.
I mean, wasn't it not in a nefarious way? There was none of that going on.
No, not at all.
He was just a nice fella.
It was like, we were just kids, and he, like, started playing football. He must have just liked us, I suppose, and like playing football.
Well, who wouldn't like that? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why are we talking about him? Because of the Weller guy.
Because of the Weller guy that... he was from the Nook, I think, him, wasn't he?
I can't remember who he was, really. It vaguely rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember too much. But yeah, that was like... Oasis kind of took over our lives at that point. And then, as we've said before, that turned into getting into other stuff that... Noel Gallagher.
Were you into the Beatles before Oasis?
Yeah, I would have been. I remember when I first heard Oasis, I really hated like his voice
because
I was used to the Beatles and like harmonies and really kind of.
Did you think it sounded like the Beatles?
Nah, and I still don't.
No, I don't either.
I think it sounds more like.
I mean, the later ones with the sort of.
I think the last few Oasis albums, I like them. They're not groundbreaking like the first couple were, but they just turned into like a good 60s pastiche group, I think. Yeah. Like, whoever wrote the songs, they were like a little bit like the Kinks, a little bit like the Small Faces, a little bit like.
And
whatever.
It's like they're always the Strawberry Fields, like, thing. Do you know what I mean?
And then there's that Importance of Being Idle sounds like a Kinks song.
Yeah.
Like,
I think Lennon can play that one.
It's a good song.
Well, it sounds like The Laws as well, isn't it? There's a Laws song, which is. Almost exactly the same.
So we ended up like going back and listening to that stuff, but I don't think it sounded like the Beatles. There's obviously like lyrics that reference the Beatles in a lot of their songs and stuff, and then they started doing that on purpose,
and like Dylan and stuff and loads of other things.
But yeah, and then there's Neil Young, there's T-Rex, there's Sex Pistols, Status Quo, there's all kinds of stuff that they sound like. Status Quo got some good songs.
They have. Not wrong with Status Quo.
No, I don't think there is. And
also going back to the stadium, right? Opened the stadium a lot.
Yes, it did. And those two partied harder than most fucking people do.
Wasn't he the first man to have his nose drop out?
Yeah. I think he was.
What, the status quo now, Jesus?
But I probably started listening to Stone Roses properly because of Oasis. Yeatsy had Second Coming, I remember. We used to listen to that. But it's just one of those things, Noel Gallagher always talked about all of these artists and stuff. Lee Gallagher never talked about anything but John Lennon.
He's just talking about John Lennon, didn't he? I remember seeing an interview with him, if John Lennon was in the room, would you say hello to him or whatever? He went, no, he'd think I was a dick or whatever. So, he loves him, he adores him or whatever, but he wouldn't want to talk to him.
It's weird, so you never really got anything from Liam, what kind of music he like? You just like the Beatles.
But obviously, a massively talented guy, Liam, isn't he? At this particular moment in time, he's got a great voice, but he must have put work into that. Because if you listen to the demo stuff, it's completely different. His voice is different.
The earlier stuff, he sounds more like Ian Brown.
He's not.
Obviously not as good as Ian Brown, but his voice is kind of high and it's a bit weird. And then he's obviously
all of a sudden it's he's Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a bit Johnny Rotten, it's a bit John Lennon, and if you like, that was the great thing about that Nebworth documentary that I watched recently. His voice on that is absolutely incredible.
He has got a fantastic voice. Absolutely brilliant.
It's spoiled over the years, but it's got better again, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Or you can use the studio better.
Musically, he's got talent as well, because you kind of just turn up and sing, can you? Because he did just turn up and sing on those demos or whatever, and he sounds like Ian Brown.
Yeah.
He's put work in.
Yeah, yeah. No, but
it's
I think one of the good things is he looks like he's come straight out of the pub after 10 pints or whatever, and he's walked on stage and he's just belts out rock and roll style. That's what made him that good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he can sustain that until the end of 50, and he hasn't really.
Mm-hmm.
But he's sells more records and sells out bigger shows than Noel Gallagher does now. So.
Well, I mean, as far as Lennon's concerned and stuff like that, I mean, I've always played Oasis. Do you know what I mean? But I don't think I've had a massive influence on Lennon's musical taste or whatever. Yeah. But he loves Noel Gallagher. He loves Oasis. It's his favourite band. If you go in his room now, he's got Oasis posters up there and stuff like that. And it's not something that I've forced on him. So it's still going now. It's still alive now, this little period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were 14, it's still going now.
Well, if you think about it, it's the same amount of time between definitely maybe and now as it was between us and the Beatles.
Exactly.
So if it stands out, it can stand that
mm-hmm.
amount of time.
Well, that's the thing about people having this opinion. Oh, it was just shit. Do you know what I mean? It was crap. I think a similar thing with the Beatles. If you listen to The Clash or whatever, they bad-mouthing the Beatles in their songs and stuff. It's a similar thing, isn't it? That's gone now. It was shit. It's easy to do that.
Fucking hate them.
But do you know what I mean? It's like, because that time's gone, it's easy to go, oh shit. But it wasn't shit.
I think the reputation of the fans and the behaviour of the fans has overtaken the band, the actual, any facts or knowledge about the band.
Well, surely the same thing should have happened to the Sex Pistols though, shouldn't it? Do you think that?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody thinks the Sex Pistols are good, do they?
Do you not think they're good?
I like the album. I mean, when's the last time you listened to the full album?
I think I've listened to it a couple of times.
Exactly.
But so they're good songs.
The impact is massive because people still know who they are and know what they did.
Uh-huh.
But I mean,
I was just thinking,
how many people have listened to that album more than once?
I was just thinking of bad behaved fans.
But that was all the people, right? It wasn't. I don't think that was just because of that.
Yeah, that
band. It was because of their music.
A different time, wasn't it?
That's
the 70s and
they were a catalyst for people to do that. I don't think it was particularly because of what music they played or because of that band. They were just a catalyst.
Who do you think are the worst behaved fans? Would you say Oasis? In our lifetime, do you think?
I think it's probably something like One Direction or stuff like that. Like those.
Ooh!
Those fans like tell each other
to kill. They claw each other's eyes out.
They tell each other to kill themselves and stuff like that. Like there's been depressed kids who've been like trolled and stuff by those like Little Mix and all of that kind of stuff. Well, their fans, it's horrible. Like, I don't think any of that happened.
The social media age or whatever that's got.
I think it's to do with that, not the band. Like, but you know, those who have that loyal followers and like bully other kids on the internet because of whatever they've decided to fancy them more than them.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's horrible. But probably Oasis, like, for proper band.
For going to the gig and, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember when
I wonder what it's like at Sam Fender. I think it's very nice.
I think, I think, like, that Geordie fellow who does the podcast, he's there keeping everybody in control, do you know what I mean? And then he goes off and he talks to semi-famous people after that. Yeah. I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
Sam Fender.
Professional Geordie.
Professional Geordie. That's what you said he was. What's a professional Geordie?
Well, it's just like, like they tuned me, man. And then I'm back in Newcastle, I don't like to be taken seriously and I don't like to be treated like I'm famous and that. But I do walk around dressed like this all the time with a guitar.
I love Lindisfarne.
Actually, he's a nice bloke.
Have you met him?
I think I don't know him, but I've met him. We used to do Buskers Nights and stuff when I lived in North Shields. He'd be playing the Buskers Nights and I'd be at them. Mm-hmm. And he's friends with some of like my cousins and stuff like that. And apparently he's a lovely bloke and I think he's talented and all the best to him for making it massive because not many people get to do that.
But we don't like your shoes.
But I'm not keen on his shoes.
Still keen on his shoes. Bush puppies, apparently. Clocks.
Well, that's that Oasis. That was all right, wasn't it?
That was all right.
Nice trip down memory lane.
It sure was.
Nobby, anything to say?
Never listen to this, Nobby. He's going to
anything to say on the matter, Nobby?
I don't think so. We'll ask Nobby at least 20 times if he'd come on and explain himself.
He said he didn't want the publicity or something he said to me.
Didn't want the publicity. Well, we've done it now, haven't we? So I hope he doesn't get upset.
That can't be the word he used.
I just don't think you want to come on.
Well, mate, what a great weekend that was. Like, what an eye-opener into how some people live, what big cities like, even if we didn't enjoy all of it or fare that well in some of it.
Do you think the city would have ate up if we had been there a little bit longer?
The big smoke. We would have kept getting lost.
We would
have had less and less money. And you can't drink absinthe and vermouth for that long.
I have a quiz.
Oh, do you? Nice
yes,
one.
Bearing in mind, this is from weeks ago.
All right.
It's famous punches.
Okay.
Obviously okay. Because of the Will Smith slap.
Yes. Oh, all right, okay.
Did you see that, did you? Obviously, everybody's seen it, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I don't understand why people insist it was a punch when it's clear.
I thought it was a punch at first, but then it's definitely a slap, isn't it?
It's a funny movement he does, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Like, with his hand afterwards.
Yeah, the cameras went, or the sound went off. What you didn't realise, as he slapped me, went, Will Smith! Like that. I like Chris Rock's face when he's thinking it's a joke. As it connects.
Then it connects.
And he's still thinking it's a joke until he's properly gone like that. It was realises, shit, he's come on and slapped us.
I think what funny thing was, like, this has been Porto, obviously, but he laughs at the joke. And then his wife's
he's
like...
He's still laughing while he's slapping.
His wife's like, oh, you find that funny, dude? He's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to make reparations for this.
Reparations. Very funny, though, wasn't it?
What an overreaction. Like, what an example to set to people. How's he a good example anyway?
Well, it's at least just an act, isn't he? Why do actors have to set an example to people? Lost his rag, isn't he?
What?
Trying to stick up for his wife and that. If it was in a pub and you called my wife, there would be a slapping coming around you.
Well, I wouldn't do that for a start.
Well, you might. But,
a slap, which is a strange move.
It is, because he didn't want to punch him, did he?
His action, like I say, he's motion after he's connected. It, you know, like when...
Do you think it's an Agnes slap?
Like, you know, I think it's like, you know, when a good 10-pin bowler does a
good 10-pin bowler.
They do like well, the slide, like, and the leg's like going behind when they finish. The ball's like miles away.
You're thinking of the film Kingpin.
Yeah, I know, but like, I've seen people do it in Shields and that.
No, you haven't.
But, you know, like, I'll run up and... And yeah. I just kind of drop it.
The
and
slide
it along. When people do the slide, the ball's like miles away and they're still like pirouetting and sliding. I think it's a bit like that. Yeah,
the people who do that have definitely got that glove on, haven't they?
Yeah, the glove on and they buff the ball up and all of that. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I'd love to...
And the bowling ball's got a massive rose in it.
I'd love to know Will Smith's bowling average.
I'm thinking of Big Lebowski now.
It's two of them, yeah. So both.
It's simple. Right, do you want the questions?
Yes, let's do the questions. Which, by the way, you don't have to hide them. I'm just not going to read them.
I don't trust you, though. Remember how I don't trust you?
I'll turn away.
Which football manager punched a fan who invaded the pitch saying he just clipped his ears?
It's got to be Brian Clough.
It's Brian Clough, certainly is. Which deputy prime minister threw a left-hand jab at a person who threw an egg at him?
Two Jags, John Prescott.
Two Jags? How many Jags you got?
No, I think they're...
Two Jags?
Two Jags.
No, I haven't good just one Jag. It's rubbish, isn't it? I'm one Jag. Which video game has Mike Tyson as the final boss?
Street Fighter 2?
Oh, no. Remember, it's famous punches.
Evander Holyfield?
No. It's Punch Out.
Punch Out, I don't know it.
You don't know it.
Well, that Mike Tyson, that's why it's called M. Bison, right?
What?
On Street Fighter 2, so remember the guy before M. Bison is a black boxer. And then the final guy, M. Bison, is a guy in a hat and coat and that. You got the names wrong around. M. Bison was meant to be the boxer.
All right.
And he was basically...
Is M. Bison the man in the red Nazi suit?
He's the one who was played by Raul Julia in the film.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Kylie Minogue's in that film, though.
I went to see it in the pictures, didn't I? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's miscast, I think. is an American soldier.
Woefully miscast, yeah.
Anyway. He definitely is. Which Zack Snyder film, I know you're a fan, has drawn criticism for its depiction of women by critics?
Oh, it's the one there's like four lasses, isn't there?
Four lasses.
Donkey Punch? Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Well done, you've done very well, eh?
Donkey Punch.
Blow My Skull is what type of alcoholic drink originating in Australia?
In the rainforest.
Blow My Skull.
Is it a fruit punch?
It's a punch. Well done. I knew you'd get that one. Which magician is said to have died after being punched in the stomach?
Ooh.
Now, have you ever seen the John Candy, Steve Martin wonderful film? Planes, Trains and Automobiles. Well, John Candy mentions...
Oh, does he? Oh, I don't know.
This in the film.
A magician? A
magician.
Is it Harry Houdini?
It is Harry Houdini, yes.
I thought he was more of an escapologist.
He used to get people to punch him in the stomach, though. And apparently, this guy punched him in the stomach and it burst his appendix and he...
What, like, punch his stomach, say how hard I am?
Yeah. He would just let people punch him. Like, random people.
It's not magic.
It's not magic. He's like David Blaine, isn't he? Like, he would do different kinds of stuff.
Okay. Mostly escaping, though.
Mostly escaping. Good escapes.
Anyway, that was a great quiz. That, more of that, please, Brett.
More of the punches.
Yeah, more of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Up with that kind of thing.
You're down with that.
I'm down with that. And I want up with that kind of thing.
Right. Maybe I should just do the quizzes then.
I mean, I've been trying for a long time to make this happen.
No, I like yours. Your quizzes are good, man. Although your dad hates
it. I'm just like, why did it not be dad? Right, okay. Well, that was brilliant. Loved that. Thanks for the quiz. Also, you could have just put in what happened at Oasis's first gig in Newcastle and Noel Gallagher got punched in the face by a fan Did he have like a something ring on or yeah, something like that? And he cut his eye or something. Riverside, also R.I.P.
To the Riverside. Uh-huh. Is that not there now?
It became a club which I can't remember the name of. Bloody hell! And now it's Block of Flats. Or,
Noel Gallagher bought it, not me.
Yeah. Right. Okay then. Cheers for that. We did have some music. What was it again? I've got it. It's Skylights with Outlaw, Yorkshire band. Big rocker. This one works well with the podcast, I think. Yeah. Right. Cheers. See you next time. It'll be over video again.
It'll be over video.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.